We're going to begin here at the bottom of Yutetim with Bet. The Gemara left off, which he left off with yesterday, is Rab Asim, Rab Yochanan, who says, the Meiser Sheni, Meimatai Chayvin Alav, Mishra'ab Pnei Achoma. The Meiser Sheni, what is the point in time in which you become Chayav, meaning that it takes on its Tofesh B'Kdushata, you're not allowed to be Poded anymore, you're not allowed to redeem it because now it's entered into Yerushalayim, and there is a restriction against eating it outside of Yerushalayim, because as we explained yesterday, the pasuk says that when are you chayav lo tuchal echol bisharecha? It's only once you brought it kiim lifnei Hashem lokecha. Once you brought it before Hashem, then there's a restriction against eating it outside of Yerushalayim. But until that point in time, there is no restriction against eating it outside of Yerushalayim. We mentioned yesterday, Tosfos asks if that's the case, then why should anybody ever be podeh ma'aser sheni? You could just eat it. There's no lav. So Tosfos says there might be a mitzvah asay, even though there is no mitzvah lo asay. So now the Gemara has a question on this position, and that is three lines from the bottom on the bottom of Yutet Amud Bet. It says, "Meitave Rabbi Yosi Omer, Kohen shal tabi ado teina shel tevel, a Kohen that has in his hands a fig that is tevel." Amar, so he says, "Teina zu trumata biukta." That the truma that has to be separated from this teina is over by the end or the stem. Maaser Rishon bitzvona. The Maaser Rishon is in the northern side of it. Maaser Sheni lidroma is in the southern side. V'hishnat Maaser Sheni. And it's a year in which you have to give Maaser Sheni, which is of the 7-year cycle. That is the first, second, and fourth and fifth years is when we give Maaser Sheni. Behu b'Yerushalayim, and he's found inside of Yerushalayim. Oh, it's one of the either the third and sixth year. It's Maaser Ani. Behu b'Gvulin, and then he takes off Maaser Ani, and he's out in the Gvulin. He's not necessarily in Yerushalayim. Achla, if he eats it, loke achat, gets malchot for one malchot. The vizar shachla, if it's a non-Kohen who eats it, loke shtayim, he gets two. She'ilu b'tchila achla en loke achat. Had he just ate it when it was tevel, he would only have been chayav once. So now let's dissect this. What's the issue with the Braita that the Braita is discussing? And then we'll go to the question on Rabbi Asiyam or Rabbi Yochanan's position. So the first thing is you have a te'ina. This te'ina needs to have removed from it. It has to have a truma removed from it, which the Kohen does. He designates the location of the truma. He has to remove Maaser Rishon, which must be given to the Levi. But again, that's only a chiyuv mamon. So when he removes the Maaser Rishon, he takes away the shame tevel from Maaser Rishon. And then he separates out Maaser Sheni, and he's in Yerushalayim, so that's fine. Or it's Maaser Ani, he's outside of Yerushalayim. Again, Maaser Ani, once you've removed it or designated the location for it, the item is no longer tevel, and you just have to give it to Aniyim. But if you don't give it to Aniyim, it's only a mamon issue, not an issue of Yisur. So basically, this Kohen did everything that he was supposed to do. And on top of that, even though he's eating the Teina and it has Truma in it, he's a Kohen. He's a Kohen, he's allowed to eat the Truma. So we have no problem here. So why is he getting Malkot? Well, he forgot to do one thing. What was the one thing he forgot to do? When he separated off the Maaser Rishon, he didn't take off the Trumat Maaser from the Maaser Rishon. Now had he separated the Truma, if he said on the Maaser Rishon, one-tenth of the Maaser Rishon, on the side, the eastern side of that Maaser Rishon is Trumat Maaser, and he ate it, he would have been in no violation whatsoever, because he's a Kohen. And a Kohen is supposed to eat the Trumat, he's supposed to eat the Trumat Maaser. But what he didn't do was separate Trumat Maaser. So now you have Maaser Rishon that is Tevel for Trumat Maaser. So the lav that he's getting, or the malkot that he's getting over here, is because he's eating tevel. He's still eating the tevel of Maaser Rishon, shelo nitba trumato. So that's for a kohen. On the other hand, Yisrael has two problems here. Yisrael has one problem, which is the Maaser Rishon that didn't have the truma taken off of it. And number two, he has a problem, which is that there's truma here. And the truma that was separated in this fig, that's still in this fig, if he eats it, then he's a zar who's ochel, right? Truma. And so for your malkot. So a zar will get two sets of malkot, and a kohen will only get one set of malkot for eating this teina. Now the right dimensions that had he just eaten it when it was all tevel, he would only gotten one set of malkot. Because it's all tevel, then there's one isur, the isur of tevel. Now that the truma is separated out, and it's also tevel for Jumat Maaser, he's gonna get two sets of malkot. That's the brayta. Now what's the question? The question is very mere. Taima de ite b'Yerushalayim. The reason that he gets one set of malkot, the Kohen, or the Israel gets two sets of malkot, is because they're inside of Yerushalayim. Ha b'gvulin, if they were outside of Yerushalayim, lokesh shalosh, you would have gotten three sets of malkot. Why? One, let's do this for the Kohen. For the Kohen, you get one for the Trumat Maaseh that wasn't taken off. And number two, you get malkot for eating Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. And for the Israel, you have the problem of Trumat Maaser, Tevel the Trumat Maaser. You have the Truma, and you now you have Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. But what do you see here? You see, you have Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim gets malkot. And Rabbi Asiyam, Rabbi Yochanan just told us that you only get malkot if it's already gone through the Choma. Only if it's reached Yerushalayim is there a restriction against eating outside of Yerushalayim. But if it's never gone to Yerushalayim, there's no restriction. So here you have a Braita that seems to indicate that Diuk from the Braita is that if I eat it outside of Yerushalayim, I would have gotten another set of Malkot, even though it's never been to Yerushalayim. That's it. Habak Bulin Lukash Alosh, Habak Abdullah Broe Pneo Choma, that I never saw or never entered into Yerushalayim. Where it says, no, the Ailei V'Afke. He took it in, and he took it out. He went into Yerushalayim with the Teina, and then he walked back out with the Teina, and that's why he's Chayev from Maaser Sheni, where it says, Yochi Ma'alem Hemro. Then what's the Chiddush? To tell me that there are three sets of Malkot in that case, that's not a big Chiddush. Of course, once he's entered Yerushalayim, then of course he's Chayev from Maaser Sheni if he goes out. What type of Chiddush is that? Where it says, Ocha Ba'eskinon, Kegon De'ailinu B'Tivlayu. Now here's the Chiddush. The Chiddush is that he took the Teina, he took the fig into Yerushalayim when it was still all Tevel. He hadn't separated anything out. He went into Yerushalayim, it was all Tevel. He walks back out, and then he does this whole thing when he puts the true, takes the true moth from here, says that the Maaser Rishon in the north, the Maaser Sheni in the south, does all of this outside of Yerushalayim after it's entered B'Tevel into Yerushalayim. So now what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is, Kasavar Matnot Shlo Hurmu Kemisha Hurmu Damyon. That's the Chiddush. The Chiddush over here is that even though it was not removed, even though the matnot were not removed from the Teina, it's if we look at them as if removed. Since in the end you're going to have to take off the matnot, that is as if removed. Why does that help us? That helps us now is that you brought the Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim. Once you brought the Maaser Sheni into Yerushalayim, then there's a lav for taking it out and eating it outside of Yerushalayim. Right, so you can't put bepo there, but even eating it, that's when the lav comes into effect. That's the statement of Rashi from Biyochanan, is that the lav only goes to effect once it's entered Yerushalayim. If it never entered Yerushalayim, there's no lav against eating Maaser Sheni. So how do we solve the problem? We say, oh, it went into Yerushalayim. We say, what's the Chiddush? The Chiddush is that I took it in when it was Tevel, and then I took it out. So when it was Tevel, the Maaser Sheni wasn't defined. But it wasn't defined. Nevertheless, we considered as if it was defined. And since it's as if defined, it's as if the Maaser Sheni was in Yerushalayim, and therefore you'll get Malkot when you separate it out outside of Yerushalayim, because it's already seen Yerushalayim. And if he eats it now, you will get a set of Malkot. And that'll be the Chiddush of the Braita over here, the Diuk out of the Braita, that you get three sets of Malkot. The Chiddush is, even though it only went into Yerushalayim B'Tevel, you still get Malkot for Maaser Sheni outside of Yerushalayim. So now the way you explain this Braita, in order not to be a stira for Amar Abasi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, that you went ahead and explained it, it's that the Chiddush of the Braita is that the Tevel that goes into Yerushalayim is considered as if separated Maaser Sheni. But does Rabbi Yossi, who's the author of this Braita, really hold that? Why? Because we have another Rabbi Yossi, the Tanya, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi. Says Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, in the name of Rabbi Yossi, Lo Nechelku Beit Shammai Beit Hillel Al Perot Lo Nigmara Melachtan. And Perot, that never came to a Chiyuv Maser, Va'avru B'Yerushalayim, Shiyifteh and Maaser Sheni Shalem, V'yuchal B'chol Makom. That if you take some sort of produce, or fruits, whatever it is, vegetables through Yerushalayim, and yet they have not reached the Onata Maser, they haven't reached the time, a period of time when they are Chayav and Masrot, then everybody agrees that when you take them out of Yerushalayim afterwards, you're allowed to redeem them. They haven't been, the walls of Yerushalayim have not been kolet these items. So that everybody agrees to. V'ama nechelku. What is Machos Bein Bideo Min Yerushalayim? Al Perot, Shenigmar Malachtan. We're talking about Perot that did reach the point of Maser. Onata Maser, what you'd be Chayav Zeneg of Masrot. V'avru B'Yerushalayim. And then they went through Yerushalayim. They were not separated out yet. It's Tevel for Maaser Sheni. And now you went through Yerushalayim with the Tevel for Maaser Sheni. That what? Beit Shammai Omrim Yachzir Maaser Sheni Shalem V'yuchal B'Yerushalayim. The Chamai says you got to take them back to Yerushalayim. No more diyah, no more redeeming. Why? Because Beit Shammai views it as if kimi shahur mo damian, as if they're separated off. Since as if they're separated, that means once they entered Yerushalayim, you can't take them out and redeem them. But Omrim, if that biyochal b'chol makom, right? That you can eat them. You can eat that. You can redeem them. Biyochal b'chol makom and eat them wherever you want, because manot are kishalot hurmu damian. If you think that matanot that are not yet removed are as if removed, then how kotot mechitzot? And the mechitzot would have captured the ma'aser sheni. And why does Beit Hillel let you bring it back into Yerushalayim and let you redeem it and then eat it wherever you want? So it must be that Beit Hillel holds that they're lav kamisha hormu damyan. Now, okay, what's the big deal here? We have a machlokas between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. And one opinion, Beit Shammai says it's Kamisha Hormu Damyan, and Beit Hillel says Shaloka Hormu Damyan. So now we set up Rabbi Yossi that he holds like Beit Shammai. Well, that the problem with that is that Rabbi Yossi would never do that. Rabbi Yossi is the one who set up this Mishnah and is explaining this Mishnah that this is the Machloket, and he sets up Beit Shammai and one way Beit Hillel. Then we know that Beit Shammai, B'makom Beit Hillel, Einu Mishnah. Right, since it's not Einu Mishnah, why would Rabbi Yossi ever set up a Mishnah, or explain a Mishnah, so that his opinion ends up with Beit Shammai? Because then he would not be Aliba de Ochasa. So, right, so now Rabbi Yossi would definitely want to have it be his opinions Beit Hillel. So now you're setting up Rabbi Yossi in our bright over here to not be a question of Rav Asi and Rabbi Yochanan saying Kamisha Hormu Damyan. Yet that's the opinion of Beit Shammai. We don't think that Rabbi Yossi, who sets it up as the opinion of Beit Shammai, would want that. So the Gemara says, Amar Abba, Mechitza lechol deoraita. Mechitza leklot derabonon. The mechitza has two different effects. The walls of Yerushalayim, right, impact Maaser Sheni from two perspectives. One is where you can eat Maaser Sheni. You can eat Maaser Sheni only within the walls of Yerushalayim. That din is a din min haTorah. That's a din d'oraita. The Maaser Sheni may only eat in within the confines of the walls, within the boundaries of the walls of Yerushalayim. Number two is mechitzot also have another effect on Maaser Sheni. The other effect is that once Maaser Sheni has entered through the walls of Yerushalayim, it may no longer be redeemed. It may no longer be nifdeh by money, and then you can't eat it anywhere else. You must eat that produce inside of Yerushalayim once it's entered the walls of Yerushalayim. That is what we call liklot, mechitza liklot. That din is only a din derabonon. So you have a din d'oraita, which is you must eat Maaser Sheni within the walls. You have a din d'rabbanan that once Maaser Sheni enters Yerushalayim, it can no longer be redeemed. Ah, v'chi gozer rabbanan ki itei be'enei. The rabbanan where it goes there, that the mechitza etar koleit, that's only when it's actually Maaser Sheni. B'tivlei lo gozer rabbanan. When it's tevel, rabbanan, we're not gozer in that instance that it should have a din of Maaser Sheni. So now, when they were gozer, that means over here you're actually going to come out with two different halachos, which is that one, when Rabbi Yossi is going, his opinion is aliba debate hidel that yipadeh, that you're allowed to redeem it. So because why is it that you're allowed to redeem it over here? Because it is not considered as if it went into Yerushalayim, because it was tevel when it went into Yerushalayim. Ah, it was tevel when it went into Yerushalayim. Then it's not kamisha humu damyan, because we're talking about mechitzot kotot. Mechitzot kotot, that's only a din de rabbanon. When it comes to dinei d'oraita, then we do say kamisha humu damyan. But when it comes to dinei rabbanon, we do not say kamisha humu damyan. Therefore, in the braita that has machlokas Beit Hillel, Beit Shammai, Rabbi Yossi will hold like Beit Hillel, there we're talking about redeeming the Maaser Sheni, a din de rabbanon, at the walls of Yerushalayim are kolet, that they take in the Maaser Sheni, don't let it out. There, the rabbanon will not go there by tevel. In our case, where we're talking about a din de oraisa, when do you get malkot for Maaser Sheni? That's when Maaser Sheni went into Yerushalayim and then came out of Yerushalayim. Over there, we're dealing with a din de oraisa. So for a din de oraita, there we say it's because if there was Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and therefore you're going to get malkot because it was kamisha humu damyan. It's as if they were taken off. So the basic premise or the basic differentiation is between din de oraita and din de rabbanon. In din de oraita, even when it's tevel, it's going to be classified as if the Maaser Sheni entered Yerushalayim. So din de rabbanon, then if it's tevel, it will not be classified as entering into Yerushalayim until it's absolutely separated out. And that'd be the difference. That's Ravina's Rabba's explanation of how we can fit Rabbi Yossi into the Mishnah that he explains as well as the Braita and not be a stira to Rabbi Asi and Rabbi Yochanan. Now, Ravina gives another suggestion, could go in the Nakit Lebekanyo, but Tifshot Bayid the Rab Papa. The case here is that he's walking into Yerushalayim and it's hanging out on a rod of his back. If you remember before, we had this question. A person who is in Yerushalayim and the produce is outside of Yerushalayim, there the Gemara was conclusive that it's Milu'o, his entirety, he and his load are considered one entity, and therefore if he's already entered Yerushalayim, it's as if the load already entered Yerushalayim. Then Rav Papa asked the question, what happens if it's on a rod? What happens if he's carrying it on some sort of stick that's hanging out the back? Are you considered one entity or two entities at that point in time? So now, the case here is where the person's standing inside, and he has a kaneh that's hanging outside. So he's trying to explain the braisa. What's the chiddush of the braisa that you would get three malkot in this case? That's to tell you that it's as if it entered Yerushalayim. So not to say that the chiddush of the braisa is that as we look at it as if we took off Maaser Sheni. No, we're talking about real Maaser Sheni here. Ah, you said before, if it's real Maaser Sheni in the Braita, what's the Chiddush that you went into Yerushalayim, you took it out, and you get Malkot? Of course you get Malkot in that case. Why do I need a Braita to teach me that? That's so obvious. So the Chiddush is, no, he didn't really enter Yerushalayim. He, the person, entered Yerushalayim. But the Maaser Sheni never entered Yerushalayim. You know where that Maaser Sheni was? It was hanging off the back of a stick. It was on his shoulder on a stick, and it was outside Yerushalayim. Along comes this Braita to teach you. That is as if it entered Yerushalayim. When it's hanging off the stick in the back, that's it went into Yerushalayim. Ah, Rav Papa asked the question and we left it as a teiku. Eino chanami. This is the answer to Rav Papa's question. This braisa is the answer. That's what Ravina says. That's what we're answering. We're answering up Rav Papa. This is tifshel braya the Rav Papa that it is considered as if it went into Yerushalayim. So now we have another Mishnah, then we're going to move to topics. From here, which is, HaKoreach Karcha Birosho. Someone who makes bald spots on his head, not that it happens naturally, but rather he actively makes bald spots on his head. So that's the first issue that we have over here. Van Mikif Pa'at Rosho. Second that we're talking about here, someone who cuts off his peyot, someone who removes his peyot from his head. And then we have the third issue over here, which is Amashchit, someone who shaves Pa'at Zkano, and it takes off the corners of his beard. And then number four is Asareit Srita Achat Almeit, someone who cuts one cut over being distraught over the passing of an individual, passing of a mate. All of these, as we said, this is Elohim Alokim, all of these get Malkot. So now the Gemara says, Asareit Srita. And the girsa here is a question if the word achat appears or does not appear. Our Mishnah has it. The others remove it, like the Bach. Others remove it from here. So whether it's Saret Srita achat or Saret Srita al chamisha meitim, he cut one cut on five meitim, o chamesh sritot al meit echad, or five cuts on one meit, chayav al kol achat va'achat. You're chayav on each one individually. Not that you are chayav just for srita and that's it, but each srita, each cut in itself is chayav. Makes you an additional chiyuv, and a single cut can have multiple manifestations. I mean, if it's done over multiple meitim, that single cut will be considered as if you cut separately five different times. Al harosh. So now when we're talking about peot harosh, if you cut off the peot of the rosh, shtayim, then you chayev two malkot, achat mikan v'achat mikan, because there are two corners to your head. There's a peah on this side and there's a peah on the other side. So if you cut off all the hair of the rosh, you're going to be chayev twice, not just once, but twice, because you have two separate entities, two separate peyot. Now, as the Rivan over here, the Rashi that's here is not Rashi himself, but rather the Rivan, because Rashi had passed away and probably didn't have time to redact this part, and therefore the Rivan, is Perush, has been entered over here in place of Rashi. So the Rivan explaining what are the peyot arosh, look down, chayav al arosh, explains, al kafad arosh chayav shtei malkiot, the shtei peyot yesh larosh, there are two corners. Sharosh kishtei chatichot, the head has like two pieces to it. Mekom ha-seyar, the place where the hair is, and that's chaticha achat. Anywhere that there's hair, that's classified as one group, one piece of the head. Umakom ha-panim v'zakan, and then the other place is the face and the beard. So those are the two pieces. So that's another chaticha achat. Umitchabrot zu imzu bitzad ha'ozen milafanav. They get attached together. They cross, I mean, the point at which they are joined is the front of the face here, the part of the face and the beard, and then you have the hair on top. Those two parts connect over here, adjacent to the ear. Adjacent to the ear. And that's where the corners are. The corners are where they connect. Zuzu, bitzad ha'ozen milafanav. Makom shalozim, right? Makom shalozim, what do they call it? Ten Pela. The temple. At the points of the temple. That's where they join. Tempela. So that's where they join. Bisham nikra peya. That's the corner. Shisham sofarosh. Makom chibur aprokim. That's the end of where the hair is. The beginning of the face. So that is where the peyot are according to the Rivan. Now the Rivan, even though for instance, Srita, that we say for one cut, you can get multiple malkot, that the Gemara is going to dash it at the end of today's daf, is going to give us a drasha for that. The fact by peyot, that you get two malkot, the Gemara never has a drasha for that. And therefore he says, even though we don't have a ribui from the kra, from the pasuk, mistamak, echid arminim viseret, l'chayev al kol ser viseret, l'chayev peyot, l'chayev al kol peyav v'peyah, says it's a mistama, makes sense. That we are, just like by Srita, we say the word Seret means any number of Sratim. So Devir, when we say the word Peyot, to give up Pa'at Roshkem, Peyot will even be multiple Peyot. Right? So far what we have from the Rivan will define it more definitively when we get to the Zakan. But basically over here, his Peyot are over here by the temples. That's where they join. It's everywhere around where the temples are. That's the joining. That's where the hair meets the face. And that's the Peyot. Now, what about the Zakan? Right, so Allah's Khan, he is Chayav, or the points, the Peyota Zakan, Shtaimikan, Vishtaimikan. Two over here and two over here. Vachat Milamata and one down below. These are the 5 points of the beard. Where are those 5 points? It happens to be a Machloket HaRishonim. We'll look at the Rivan right now. The Rivan says, you know what those 5 points are? Let me explain to you. So if you look down in the Rivan, which is Shtaimikan, Chamesh peyot yesh lezakan, right? That the beard has 5 corners. Echad lamata mina ozen. One below the ear, right? Below the ear. Makom, where? Shalechi atachton yotzei umit pared sham. Right? So that is the place, the, right? Lechi atachton, the bottom jaw yotzei, starts out, umit pared, and separates over there. Visham nikra peyah, that's a corner. Bechodo shalechi, at the point of the, right, of the jaw, shubalei lechutz, that it sticks out. Shisham matchelet hazakan. That is where the beard begins. V'chol mashu mala ad hatzid'ah, until the corner, b'chlal peyat haroshi. That's the Rivan talking about. He's talking about here, this bone, over here, the bone that sticks out over here, that's the beginning, this is the joint over here, where the lower, if you open and close your jaw, you can feel that point, below that bone, you can feel the point where the two jaws join. Right, that is the point, right below the ozen. He says the bottom of the ozen, you open up and close, that's the point over here. And then he said before, if you remember before, he said Peyat HaRosh is up by the temple. That's exactly what he's saying. He's saying from here, this is the beginning of the Zakan, until the temple, this is the Peyat HaRosh. Here you go, this is the corner of the Rosh. And again, we'll define it more when we get to the Gemara, we'll give you even more definition to it. But here, this section from the beginning of, if you open up your jaw until the temple, that is Peyat HaRosh. Whereas the Peyot HaZaken begins here, this is the first corner. Then the second sets of corners are Shtei Shibolot, Kol Echad Meyam L'Sof HaLechi, Nikra Peyah, V'Chad Milamato, and one down below. So here it's not clear, the Shtei Shibolot, Kol Echad Meyam L'Sof HaLechi. What is the Sof HaLechi? So there are two possibilities. Well, Sof HaLechi could be over here, the end of the Lechi, which is the easier to be the corners, over here. These are the end of the left of the jaw over here. That could be the bottom corners over here. Or the two points could be over here, right, at the chin level. There's 2 points. Over here would be the chin points, would be the 2 points. And then the last one is the single point. Where is that single point? So basically, if you think that the 2 points are over here plus over here on the side, if you look on the jaw, you have one where the jaws join, one in the corners of your, here, the edges of your jaw, should be the other 2 points. Then the one point would be your center, would be the chin. Would be the 5th point. The Rosh brings down a quote from the Mishnah Nigaim that the 5th point is actually not the chin, but rather the Adam's apple. The Adam's apple is the 5th point. Although the Halacha, it's not clear, and the Beit Yosef and others really reject that opinion, but that the 5th point is really the Adam's apple over here. And therefore, we're choshesh for all this. We don't shave with a razor on any of these points. I mean, that you hear, you're from the Avinu's apple to these points up to here. And, technically, you're only not allowed to shave with a razor the corners of the beard. But that means where it's not the corner, say in here, inside by the cheeks, right? And if you believe the chin is the bottom corner, then over here, you could shave with a razor. All you would have to do is take a string, basically, between each of these and leave all the corners, you know, not shaven by a razor, but you could use a razor in all the other places. We, instead, right, we make sure we don't do it. It's too risky. Right? It's very risky to bring a razor on the face at all, and therefore we don't bring a razor anywhere near the face because to get, first of all, it's machlokus what the corners are, and even without that, to get it exactly on the corners and miss those corners and get the other places, we're already choshesh that it's not so simple, and therefore we don't bring a razor on our face at all. But what we do, and anybody goes to the barber, they do use a razor on the back of your head. Problem is not a razor, because there's not your beard. It's not in the five corners of beard. There is no issue. All right, so that gives you a little flavor for some of the points. Face are, again, it's subject to machloket rishonim. There are multiple opinions about where they are, but generally we gave the framework of what the outside ones are according to the Rivan. Okay, Reb Lezer Meir, in nitlo kulan keachat, if he takes all five corners out in one shot, enu chayav elachat, then you only have one. Enu chayav achtlenu betar, you only chayav if you remove the five corners of the zakan, of the zakan with a razor. Rabbi Lezer Omer, afilu laktov makeit oberit ni chayav. And Rabbi says, no, even if you take it off with some sort of, you know, tweezer, a sharp plane, either one of those, you'll also be chayav. It doesn't necessarily have to be a razor. And that's what you're discussing. That's show what you're bringing up from the Gemara Nazir. Discuss their machlokas here also has application or implications by Nazir as well. Rabbanan says in the Pasuk, lo yikrechu korcha. Yachol afilu kerach kereach arba chamesh krichot. Even if he made four or five bald spots, lo yichayev lachat. I would think he's only chayev lachat. Tamal omar kacha. Says lo yikrechu korcha. The word korcha is extraneous. So the korcha comes to teach you that you're chayev on multiple krichot, multiple making multiple bald spots. Chayev akol korcha ukorcha. So that each one of them. Then it says birosham. Matam lomar. Why does it only say? Why does it say birosham? Because it says, "Lo titko dudu v'lo tosimu korcha ben enechem lemeit." So the pasuk in Devarim, which is speaking to Israel, says, "Lo titko dudu." What that means, we'll have to deal with a little later. "V'lo tosimu korcha ben enechem," and do not make a bald spot ben enechem. What does ben enechem mean? So here, if you look in the Rivan, it says ben einayim berosh samuch lepadachat. Ben Enechem doesn't literally mean between your eyes, make a bald spot between your eyes. There's no bald spot there between your eyes. So what does it mean? It means up on the Rosh, right above the Padachat, making a bald spot where you put your tefillin. And basically where you put your tefillin. Ben Enechem. Just, I heard over from a member of Aaron Lichtenstein says, there's a chiddush. What does it mean? So why is, what's Ben Enechem? Why, if it's up here on the Rosh, why do you talk about Totofot Ben Enechem? Why do you talk over here also, Karcha Ben Enechem? Why is that? Because the Ben Enechem or Ben Enechem is not telling you the location, but rather the scope of where the issue is. So here, if I take Ben Enechem, I take lines up like this. So how do I know where on my head the problem is? I go, the tefillin need to sit Ben Enechem, between each eye, meaning that between the two eyes on the top of my head, that's where the tefillin needs to sit. That's the location. Also, where's the location of the karcha that I'm going to make? It's ben einayim, between the eyes. So if I go here between the two eyes, that's where I got to fit my tefillin. That's a much wider space. It's a big chiddush. That's a wider space. We think of it being the center. Right? Ben einayim means the absolute center, meaning where the nose is. Ben einayim is the nose, that means the absolute center. But if you really think of why it used ben einayim, meaning the span of the two eyes is the space that you have. That's a much larger space that would offer you. And that's what the Gemara of Nechot talks about being the ability to put on two tefillin. Right, so most learn that two tefillin means one in front of the other, back to front. That's how you can put it on, because there's room by the top of the head, there's a lot more room to put it on. Over here, if you said ben einayim really means the whole scope of the face between the eyes, then you would have room to put tefillin next to each other. Although there are the Rishonim who believe that it means side to side, and that would be that the ben einayim is a much wider space. But over here, you have ben einayim, right, so ben einayim teaches you. So I would have thought by Israel, first of all, I have two things that are limiting over there. One is that the only time I'm chayav, it's ben enechem. Number two is only when it's done for a mate. Right? Yachal lo yechayav el al ben einayim bilvad. I thought I'd be only chayav for einayim. Minayin the rabot kol arosh. How do I know that if you make a bald spot anywhere on the rosh that it's problematic? Tamalomar birosham. So that's from the pasuk lo yikuchu kochav birosham. That's from the pasuk in Amor that's dealing with the kohanim. They're not allowed to make a bald spot anywhere on their head. The rabot kol arosh. To include the whole rosh. Vemli ala bikohanim. That's only by the pasuk by the kohanim. Shereba hena katuv mitzvot yiterot. Because kohanim have extra mitzvot that Israel doesn't have. Yisrael minayin. How do I know that Bnei Yisrael also restricted on the whole Rosh? Maybe Bnei Yisrael only restricted Bnei Naim and the Kohanim restricted B'chol HaRosh. How do I know that which applies to the Kohanim also applies to Yisrael? Nera kan korcha, v'nema l'alan korcha. We have a gzera shava korcha korcha. It says lo yikruchu korcha. And over here in the pasuk by Yisrael in Devarim, it says lo titgoreru lo tosimu korcha b'neinichem. Karcha karcha is a gzera shava. Malach alan chayav kol korcha v'korcha. Just like by the pasuk in Vayikra Vayemor, we're chayav on every bald spot because it says lo yikrechu korcha v'chayav al rosh, and you're chayav on the entire head. Afkan, right? Kebenei inayim, like between the eyes. Afkan. So too by the pasuk in Devarim, which is referring to Israel, chayav al kol korcha v'korcha. You chayav on every bald spot. Chayav al rosh kebenei inayim, and you chayav on the whole rosh as if between the eyes. Ah, what about the other direction? What does the pasuk in Devarim teach us to the pasuk in Amor? What does Yisrael teach us to the Kohanim? Malahalan be'amate, just like the pasuk by Devarim, right, is a pasuk about a mate, because it says, lo titzgoredu v'lo tosimu korcha ben einechem le'mate. It's limited to a mate. So that limitation applies to Yisrael. Also, Afkan, also by Kohanim, the same limitation applies al amate. So it goes to a mate. So that would, the gzera shavu will teach us that korcha can be anywhere on the head. You chayav for each bald spot that you make, al hamait, and it's also only al hamait, only if you do it if someone had passed away. So Mar says, Hani dalad behei krichot, hechi dami. How does a person have four or five bald spots that he does for a mate, and then he's chayav four or five times? How did this happen? If he did it sequentially, he made five different bald spots, one after the other, and in between each one he gets a warning, don't do it. Pshita, that's, what type of chiddush is that? Of course, it's chayav for each one of them. Ella, what is it? B'chado hatra'ah. One hatra'ah, gave one warning. Now, Ms. Machokas Rashi, in the Girsa over here, between the Rivan, actually, it's not even Rashi, the Rivan says that it's b'chado hatra'ah, that's it. There's one warning, but it's still b'zach arzeh. It's still one after the other. You're still doing the bald spots after one and after another, but you gave one hatra'ah. And that's doing it one after the other. Nevertheless, because the hatra'ah is right there, and then immediately goes to a bald spot, that one hatra'ah will apply to all of them, one after the other. Now, Tosfot and others have a girsa, a possible girsa, that it means b'chada hatra'ah and b'vat achad. Not only is it that he gave one warning, he did it all in one shot. Right, so now the Gemara challenges that. Vat's not. Is that really true? Nazir she'e shote yayin kol yom. If a Nazir is drinking wine all day long, enu chayav ela achat, he only gets one set of malkot. Amru lo, al tishteh, if you warn him each time before he drinks, don't drink, don't drink, don't drink. V'u shoteh, chayav al kol achat v'achat, then he's having each one. So now, either way, the question is, depending on how you read the girsa before, according to the Rivan, the reason the girsa is that you only get one hatra'ah, and yet you're chayiv from multiple times, b'zech hazeh, how could that be? You have a nazir, you warn him, don't drink wine, and then he goes, one cup, two cups, three cups, how many times does he chayiv malkot, according to the Mishnah? Once! So why over here, all of a sudden, when you give one hatra'ah, b'zech hazeh, all of a sudden, you're chayiv multiple times? So that's a question according to the Rivan. According to the girsa, Tosafot brings that, what is it? It's not only is it one morning, it's also bevat achad in one shot. So also by Nazir. When is he chayav kol achad v'achad? It's when you give him multiple atra'ot, and you give it to him one after he drinks multiple times. But if he was to drink in one shot, which is impossible, you can't drink all day in one shot, but had it been possible to drink all day in one shot, sounds like that you would be chayav only once. So over here, b'zech hazeh, you only chayav when you have multiple atra'ot. But if you give one hatra'ah, drink in one shot, seems to only be one set of malkot. So Mar says, Lo tzricha desach chamesh etzbotav. He put a depilatory on his five fingers. Odvinu bevat achad. And he placed them on his head in one shot. Because then he's doing it simultaneously. That's the chiddush here, according to Rashi, is that he's doing it bevat achad. According to Rivan now, the chiddush that he's doing, not only one hatra'ah, but he does one hatra'ah and does five separate points on the head. And therefore he is chayav for each of those points on his head, because he's doing it bevat achad, but he's doing it in separate places. Right? Bevat achad, he does it one shot, his hand does it in separate places in one shot. So they have to be far enough away, but they have a shear of balding in five different spots when he puts his fingers on it. This large Tosfos here discusses why
Korachah is different from other Isurim, like by Nisur Chelev, if you eat multiple Kzeitim, you are not chayiv multiple Malkiot, whereas over here, by Korachah, you are chayiv for multiple spaces. And Tosfos says that it has to do with the word Korachah, that he's chayiv al Korachah, but Korachah is creating as if it is Gufim Mechulakim. And that's what the extra word of Korachah does for you over here. And he also discusses,
we have to say that he actually put depilatory on his hands. Why can't we say that he pulled the hair out? Anyways, this discusses the difference maybe between pulling hair out versus doing the depilatory, many permutations of what the possibilities are over here. So now Gemara says, "Kama shiur korcha? How big a bald spot do you have to be chayav for korcha, for be balding? For unamar kadei shirei mi rosho, as long as you can see his head. If you can see his scalp, that's enough. Rabbi Yochanan amar mishum avalazer, Rabbi Shimon ki grease. It's be the size of a grease and the size of a bean. So now the girsa here probably is kitnai. This is similar to a machloket tanaim that we have. Kama shir korcha? How big is the shir of a korcha? Kigris achirimim kadei shirei mirosho. Others say no, that it's enough to see the bald spot on his head, and that would be the same as our machlokas before. Machlokas tanaim is similar, whether it's a gris or the scalp being visible. Amiyuda bar chaviva pligi bats lata tanai. There's actually three opinions about what a bald spot is. Chadomer kigris, which we've seen. Chadomer kigishir yiriyav mirosho, that his scalp is visible. That we've seen. Now the third one, chadomer kishtei se'arot. Two sarot. Vika demapik shtei sarot. Some people take out two sarot, umayl ki adasha, the size of a lentil size. Or at v'simanech, how do I know which one to take out and which one to put in? Because beheret kigris umichya b'chadasha. When it comes to the din, the Mishnah in Nigaim, a beheret, a nega has to be the size of a gris to be tamei, has to be the size of a bean. A michya is healthy skin with inside of a nega. That's one of the simanei tumah. So you have healthy skin inside of a nega. How big does that healthy skin have to be? Kadasha, like a lentil. So therefore, how do I know not to take out beheret and to take out shtei sarot? Because beheret kigris umichya kadasha. They're found in the same statement, which is that a beheret is the size of grease and a mechia is a kadasha, means that they're found together. So therefore, you don't take out the grease and put in the adasha, but you take out the shtei sarot and put in the adasha. That's the siman for you. Because nobody disagrees, kadesh yer rosho, that your scalp be visible, because that's what everybody's after. Now you can't be the one you're taking out. Because kadesh yer rosho is what everybody wants. That's it. Just a question of what does it mean, kadesh yer rosho. Okay, Tana, anotel malei pi azug b'shabbat chayav. Someone who pulls out hair, the amount that fits into the blades of a scissor, is chayav. Become a malei pi azug, how much is the scissor hold? Amar Yehuda shtayim, shtei sarot. If you take out, you cut two sarot on Shabbos, that's a problem of giza, right? And that's asur b'shabbat. Become a malei pi azug, we said, Rabbi Yehuda says it's two. Atanya l'korcha shtayim. Don't we have a brisa that by korcha it's two? So then if that's the case, can't be that the case of Shabbos is really two. Same of Chayin the Karchashtayim. So that must be. It's not that Shabbos and Karcha, it sounds like they're two different definitions, and therefore how could they both be two hairs? Because you have one bright to saying Karcha and one bright to, you know, the other saying that it's two hairs when it's Malei Peyazug. The answer is yes, I know Khanami, they are the same shiur. And don't say Karcha is a separate measurement, but Chayin the Karcha. Koreach and the din Shabbos are the same din, which is two se'arot. Tanya Rami Yochi, we have a brisa that supports this, and don't tell me play Malei Piyazug B'Shav Chayav, become a Malei Piyazug Shtayim. So we have a brisa that supports this position of Yehuda, that two hairs is classified as a Malei Piyazug Shabbat. Lez Omer Achat. Lez says, even one hair you're Chayav for on Shabbos. Umodim Chachamim L'Rabbi Eliezer, Chachamim agreed to Rabbi Eliezer, by one hair you're Chayav on Shabbos, B'Mlakeh Levanot Mitoch Shcharot. If you're pulling out white hairs from amongst black hairs, even one is chayav, because over there, you're machshiv, the item that you're taking out. Why are you removing your white hairs from amongst your black hairs? Because you want to look younger. So you want to look younger, you're taking out the gray hairs so you don't look so old. So in that case, you're giving chashivos for that one hair, and therefore even on Shabbos, Chachamim agree, if you take out that one hair, that's chayav on Shabbos. And it says, v'davar zafilu b'chol asur. Not only is it asur on Shabbos, it's asur on Chol. Why? Mishum shenemar lo yilbash gever simlat isha. A man can't do things that are unique to a woman. And one of the things that's unique to a woman is, you know, plucking hairs out. So plucking hairs out, that's unique to a woman, or making herself beautiful in that manner is unique to women. And therefore, for a man to do it, be a violation of the isur of lo yilbash gever simlat isha. So therefore, even on Chol, it'll be asur to do such an item. Now, Tosfos points out here, it's important to note, that all this, or at least has to be according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa on Shabbos is Chayav. Because over here, what you're doing is that Malacha Shein Tzricha LeGufa. Giza, why do you shear something? You shear something for the produce, the item that you're taking off. Over here, why are you shearing? You're not shearing for what you're taking off. You want it removed. You don't want the hair. You want the hair out of the face or out of the head. Not that you want the hair itself. So that's a malacha. Shein tzricha de gufa. So there, you're chayav only according to Rabbi Yehuda. And that's what Tosfos is pointing out. That this sukkah, you can only go according to Rabbi Yehuda. That says you're chayav in those instances. Now, mekif pat rosho. This is what we discussed in the Mishnah. You cannot smooth at the corners of your house. What is the pat rosho? Tamarobana, pat rosho, sof rosho, the end of the head. Basically, sof rosho. What do you mean, the end of the head? Zeh amishavetz da'av lachorei ozno ulupadachto. This is someone who evens out from his forehead until the back of his head. And that's called cuts off the corners by doing this. So that's, if you think about it before, if we talked about the temples, according to the Rivan, the temples up here. And now, if you think about Achrei Ozen, there's never hair behind your ears. Your ears never have it. Now, if I want to go from the temples to the back of my head and not have any hair, what do? I go like this, slice it down like this. So that's your peyot. Your peyot are this area plus over here. That's exactly what the Rivan said before. The peyot, this is the peyot. And if you want, if you cut them off, that means you cut straight line back from here, back to the back of your head. That's what the Gemara is describing. If it's the av, you're cutting off the corners, straight back. And that's removing. Here's the area of the peyot. Those you cannot remove. You cannot remove peyot rosho. So Tani Tani made the Rav Chista echad and makif echad and nitaf luket. Whether the person is the one who cut off the peyot, or the person's payout are being cut off, they both get malkot. Someone who eats dates out of a sieve, he gets malkot. I mean, there's no reason. Oh, for no reason you get malkot. What did the person, you're sitting in the barber chair, and the barber goes, shaves off the side of your head. What did you do? You didn't know maise. Why should you be chayav? The barber is the one who did the isur. So why should be chayav? That's what the question is. So damar lo chach money. So who told you such a thing? The answer is Rabbi Yehuda. Someone who asks you who was the author of this position, you say it's Rabbi Yehuda. Why? Damar lo shem bo ma'isa looking alav. He thinks you don't need a ma'isa. That's exactly right. You can be passive and still be chayav. Ah, why are you chayav over here? So the Rivan brings two possibilities down. It's either because lo takifu is in plural, right? Which makes it lo takifu in plural means both the nikaf and the makif. That's one possibility. Or the other possibility is because it lo takifu, which means lo tanichu lahakif. Don't allow. Lo takifu doesn't mean don't do it, but rather lo takifu lo, don't allow someone to be makif otcha. So that's the way you read lo takifu. It's like lo tanichu lahakif. So therefore, that's why you're both chayav. That's the limud over here. Now, Rava gives a different solution. Be makif atzmo. Someone who shaves his own peyot off. Someone who shaves his own peyot off is chayav, both being the makif and the nikaf. So over there he is doing the maisa. The Divrei Akol, and that goes according to everyone, not just Rabbi Yehuda. And Rav Asi Amar, b'misayeh v'divrei Akol, where he helps the barber. The barber's doing it, but somehow he moves his head towards him. He helps him to cut off the peyot, and by doing that, he's an active participant, and therefore the nikaf is chayav. Again, even though there is, now before we say it was Rabbi Yehuda, the author that's Lashay Maisa, here we have Masim. That Masim can make it the Divrei Akol. Right, but Mashchid, pe'ad zekano. Tarabanan, patzkono, sofskono. What does it mean? Patzkono means the edges of the zakan. Now, according to the Rivan, sofskono means the corners, the five corners. Kulo chamesh peyot. And that's what the line here, it says, what is the sof zakan? Is a shibolot. Right? The shibolot a zakan. What is the shibolot? According to the Rivan, shibolot is the five corners, the five points along the face. Others say the shibolot is the chin. And others say the shibolot is the Adam's apple. This shibolot is the actual, this is the sof, the end, the sofas kan. The end is the kan. That's where does it end? That defines for you what is considered. We know where the beginning of the kan is, because the beginning of the kan is when the pa'at rosho end. Pa'at rosho end, that's the beginning of the kan. Where's the end of the kan? So according to the end of the kan, according to the Rivan, means all five points. Those are the edges of the kan. According to others, the end of the kan is the chin, meaning from the point where it begins till the chin, that's all restricted. Now, I think, I mentioned before, the Rush brings an opinion that it's the Adam's apple. That's the sof, and everything down to the sof That is what are considered restricted. Amaseret srita achat, someone who cuts one cut. Tarabanan, viseret. Yachol afilu seret al beito, shenafal vaspinato shetava. If I cut on, you know, something else upsetting, he's distraught about losing his house, about his boat sinking. Tamal over the nefesh. Viseret the nefesh, right? The only someone who cuts the nefesh. Enu chayav al amet, only if you do it for a mate. Bilvad. Uminayin masret chamesh sritot al mate achat shu chayav al kol achat v'achat. How I know each one of them. Tamal over viseret. Seret means, seems to imply or indicate multiple cuts, either from the ribuy of the vav, or could have said lo tisritu, but since it says seret and it turns it in the seret, seret means multiple times. Right now, the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, my man is seret srita achat al hei meitim shu chayav al kol achat v'achat. How do I know if he cuts five, one time on five meitim that he's chayav on each one? Tamal omer the nefesh. For each nefesh, you're going to be chayav. The chayav al nefesh nefesh. Ke'ilu, they are gufim mechulakim. Is it gufim mechulakim? You're chayav in each one. Va'afikte the beito, shenafal spinato shetava beyam. Ah, didn't you already say that? We use the nefesh to teach you that only for a mate are you chayav. How can you use nefesh to teach me each mate? So, Gassava Rabbi Yossi, srita v'gedida achati. He holds that the word, but srita and gedida are the same thing. Meaning that both of them mean either doing it by hand or with a kli, with a utensil, cutting yourself. And therefore, by the pasuk of Lo Tidgodudu, it says Lo Tidgodudu Lo Yikuchu Karchal a mate. So Lo Tidgodudu has a mate on it, and Viser the Nefesh, right? Also is Nefesh. So you have the word Nefesh and mate. So therefore, you can learn it since they're one. Uchtivatam the mate. By Gdida says the mate. So that limud I get from over there. The limud of mate I get from Lo Tidgodudu Lo Yikuchu Karchal a mate. So the mate is defining Lo Tidgodudu, which is the same as Srita, synonymous with Srita. Therefore, I'm Chayav. Right, for a mate. That's where I learned that from. Now, the word nefesh, I use to teach you gufim mechalakim. That even if I do one cut, a multiple meitim, I'm chayav on each mate because of the word nefesh. Because I don't need the word nefesh to teach me mate, because I'm learning that out from lo tit go to do. Okay, we'll stop over here.